I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Dave and Dejanovic.
Would you give up your gun so you get a free gas card? A California Police Department is offering gas money for unwanted guests or guns. And guess what happened? They ran out of gas gift cards.
That was incredible. I had no idea that the buyback program would be so popular. Now, hopefully they didn't just have like five gas cards. But I look at it, I think maybe there is a market for a gun buyback program.
So I want to get into more details because this is kind of juicy.
But I'm not done yet.
No, I'm not done yet. Wait, there's more details. Okay. 134 people dropped off firearms. So I think they did kind of underestimate the success of it. They dropped off firearms. But guess what?
But I'm not done yet.
I'm not done yet. They dropped off their firearms, their unwanted firearms, for a $50 gas card.
$50. That was shocking to me.
Okay, but wait.
But I'm not done yet.
There's more. Dave's doing the math on how much $50 and a gas card buys you in the community of Sacramento, where the police department was giving out gas cards in exchange for guns.
You want all the numbers?
I just... Yeah,
$50 gets you 9 gallons of gas.
What's the price of gas in Sacramento?
Like $5.30.
Wow. Get you 9 gallons of gas. What's your number?
What's my number?
Yeah, what's your number?
Well, I think when you look at $50, it clearly is not about the gun because guns are more valuable than $50. If you were to sell a gun, you would have a very hard time finding a gun for $50. They're just more valuable than that. But what it tells me is that there's a lot of people that have guns they just don't know what to do with, and this is a good way to get rid of them.
Kind of like old prescriptions.
Yeah,
right?
There we go.
I know. You know there's like a prescription drop-off program, but you're not exactly sure where. Okay, but wait, we're not.
But I'm not done yet.
Wait, there's more. This was a no questions asked chance to give up the gun. So who were the people dropping off the guns?
It probably wasn't.
So they don't have to have, you know, any. So they're not quizzed by the police.
I'm guessing it's not the criminals. Debbie, it's not, hey, I used this gun in a robbery. And now I'm going to turn it into the cop buyback program.
So what's your price? Let's say you have a gun and you don't want it anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know if, look, it's Utah. I don't know if there's gun owners who just sidewalk one morning. I don't want this gun anymore. Where's a good buyback program for this thing?
It has to be market value. And every gun, I mean, guns range, obviously, from, you know, $100 to thousands of dollars. So a blanket number doesn't work with a gun buyback program. Now, if you offered me, now I say this, I don't own a gun. Unless you're thinking about robbing me, then I'm an arsenal at the Noriega household. But you have to have a sliding scale, right? You have to, if you're going to do a buyback program, you can't do a one size fits all. If I have a $500 rifle, then you're going to have to pay me $500.
Here's some of the reasons why people gave up their guns. The gift card was an incentive, $50. And another reason was lack of knowledge with firearms and the legality of owning them. They just wanted to get rid of the things.
Yes. Yes. And California is very restrictive. I would have to do a little deeper dive, but obviously in California and New York, there's very restrictive laws. New York specifically, if you want to be a concealed carry person, it's nearly impossible in New York. You have to have like an immediate threat, clear and present danger to yourself, they're very restrictive. So perhaps if you're looking at just getting rid of one, you don't want to deal with the laws and the headache, then yeah, I could see people using the buyback program for that.
So the event was called a success. Do you think we should try it here in Utah, Dave?
Why not?
Really?
I mean, it would make it easier for some people. We don't have many laws restricting gun purchases, especially on the private side of things. If you're going to purchase, there's background checks from a dealer. But if you're selling a peer-to-peer private, then yeah, we're pretty lenient here in Utah.
I want to get back to our developing story on the baby formula and getting it here in Utah. Because Dave and I have been reporting all morning long. Utah's Morning News with Tim and Amanda also reporting this, that 78,000 pounds of baby formula, mainly the hypoallergenic kind, have landed in Indianapolis. And we've been asking the question all morning long for you as to when it is going to arrive in Utah. We have not been able to get a firm answer from authorities in Utah, from the health department, Department of Ag, from the governor's office. Until now, we sort of have an answer. There's a senior advisor with the governor's office here in Utah for federal affairs, was on a call with the White House this morning. We do have a quote from him. I'm just going to read the information that we've gotten here at Broadcast House, here at KSL News Radio. It says, Health and Human Services is coordinating the distribution with Gerber, so with the baby formula company Gerber, and they're prioritizing children's hospitals and health clinics, WIC clinics, which is women, infant, and children clinics, and pharmacies, and that the governor's office emphasized to the White House that the states whose WIC programs are contracted with Abbott, which includes Utah. Now, Abbott is the formula maker where the plant was shut down in Michigan.
Yep.
That these states, including Utah, are in a tighter crunch than those contracted with one of the other formula producers, and urged them to prioritize states like Utah until Abbott is at full capacity. We do not yet have, and this is me saying this, so we do not yet have a direct answer as to when Utah will see its first shipment of this formula that's been flown into Indiana, foreign formula that's been flown into Indianapolis, but we do have hints that the governor's office is working with the White House to figure that out.
Yeah, and this is a big deal, because if Utah does get prioritized, then maybe we'll get a larger shipment. Because let me just give you an example. When we were talking about the COVID vaccines and they were distributing them across the country, we received 1%.
Because of our population.
Because we are 1% of the population. Okay, so if we received 1% of this emergency 78,000 pounds of baby formula, that means Utah, if they received 1%, is 780 pounds of baby formula for the entire state. If they divided it up the same way they did, just determined it on population, 780 pounds doesn't move a needle for anybody.
Well, just to give you context, 78,000 pounds of formula, which is the amount that arrived in Indianapolis in that C-17 military plane, is enough to feed 9,000 babies and 18,000 toddlers for 1 week.
Yeah, that's
for one
nothing.
Week. So you boil that down, that 1% would not work for Utah.
No.
Don't we typically have more babies than
yes.
many other states?
And this is what the governor seems to be saying here, is we need to be treated differently than the rest of the state, because, again, we are affected even more because the WIC program apparently is contracted with Abbott, who, has been shut down.
Appreciate the governor's office getting back to us this morning and the other state agencies that have been working with our producer this morning to get answers on the baby formula shortage here in Utah. In the meantime, it seems as many parents across the Wasatch Front and beyond are turning to crowdsourcing, such as Facebook posts, figuring out when formula is arriving and trying to get to the store before it sells out. It's frustrating. I mean, what's your alternative, though?
You don't. You don't have an alternative. You've got to hustle, and you've got to run, and you've got to try to. This reminds me a lot like Black Friday, where everyone is trying to find that great deal. Oh, we hear that there's Xboxes in Nephi, so we go to Nephi. That's what parents are dealing with right now. They're trying to find it wherever and whenever they can get it.
But it's baby formula. We'll continue to track this story as it develops throughout the day right here at KS Homes Radio.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.